Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm excited to introduce you to J.R. Snow, here to talk to us about the Court Square Cafe, a monthly evening showcase of performance and multimedia art created and shared by talented students in the Harrisonburg City Schools. In his 21st year in music and arts education, J.R. now serves as the visual and performing arts coordinator of Harrisonburg City Schools, director of the Fine Arts Academy at Harrisonburg High School, and director of the Kennedy Center's Any Given Child Shenandoah Valley. He is also served the James Madison University community in Harrisonburg as an adjunct professor in the College of Education, a member of the JMU Alumni Association Board of Directors, director of the marching band at the JMU summer band camps, and as an assistant director with the Marching Royal Dukes at JMU. He is the founder of the Snow Leadership Group, a leadership empowerment organization focused on educating, motivating, cultivating, and celebrating quality leadership. Welcome to the show, JR. It's great to have you on today.
Dawn, thank you so much. It is a joy to be here and always good to speak with you.
I know. We always have so much fun. You're such a fun person and a driven person. And I was wondering, we were talking about it before we recorded. I asked you, do you clone yourself?
I sound really busy when you read all of those things at the beginning of that. The good thing about all of it is it's super fun. And I think if you're enjoying your work, you sure can do a lot more. I think, keep surrounding yourself. I know you do this and I try to as well, just surrounding yourself with people that enjoy the space and have some like-mindedness about it. And all of a sudden the work doesn't feel like work. It's just having a good time and really finding your space and within your mission. Yeah.
Yeah. And you really have created a lot of synergy doing that. And I can't wait to talk about the Court Square Cafe in a little bit, because I went in January and it was this comedy mystery play by the HHS Stage Streaks. And it was quite fun. And they did a super great job. It was, I can't wait to go again, to tell you the truth. But before we get into that, because of your just vast experience in music and education and all the roles that you have, I'd like to first talk a little bit about the broader scene of youth fine arts here. So my first question for you is, as the visual and performing arts coordinator of Harrisonburg City Schools, what stands out to you the most in terms of what they offer that you think parents and students should and need to know when considering to pursue the arts, whether it's music, drama, visual art, or dance?
I appreciate that. Harrisonburg City is just an incredible place. It's a special place, I think. It's part of the reason I came here and part of the reason that I'm staying. and after working in a couple different other areas in Virginia that absolutely valued the arts, I came here wondering if it could be different in this community. And just from my outside view, and then once I've been here, it absolutely came to fruition. I think one of the major strengths that we have in Harrisonburg City Schools I feel like it's one of the pillars of the work that we do across K through 12 education here. The diversity of the type of arts that we offer is really a result of the work of the teachers. Teachers are just bringing all these gifts. And I think our work as administrators or principals or a community is just to create the foundation and the classroom space to allow them to just flourish so that we can get lots of different types of arts happening throughout our schools and throughout our classrooms. And so, there's not a lot of places that are offering as many different types of arts as we do. And so we're really, really fortunate for that. We surely celebrate and thank the community and the school board and the city council and everyone that continues to say, you know what, arts is an important part of a child's life and we want to make sure that it's there for them.
Yeah, and that's K through 12. And so there's a wide variety of skill level among the students. There are people that are interested in doing it, may not be as high a level skill as someone else. With the students that want to try it, that might feel a little shy or feel anxiety or maybe fear and still want to do it. What are some things that you all do to cultivate them growing through that process to pursue what they really want to do.
That's great. One of the things that's a major focus for us is that, you know, we want to remove barriers of entrance, right? We sometimes get in our own heads that we're not artists. There's some great research out there. You can ask a child if they're an artist or a singer or a dancer. They're going to go, yes, I love to sing and dance. And you ask the same question of a 20-year-old and they're going to say, I'm not a singer. I'm not a dancer. And that's just not actually true. They're actually trying to respond, I'm not a very good singer or dancer. And so thus they get in their own heads and they don't want to actually say that I'm going to do this in front of someone. So we've tried to, at every level, just continue to remove the barriers to know that you can start this journey with the arts at any space and time, K through 12, and then teach them that you can actually start it K through, well, all of your life, right? Whatever that age may or not be. You're never too old to start something new and different. And so we've put an emphasis on that while also cultivating the student who said from get-go, I think that I am this and I want to grow to its, you know, to its utmost capacity. And so we're able to kind of create all these different levels of pathways to ensure that every type of student learner, no matter your age or no matter your ability or your experience, has an equitable opportunity to be an artist in whatever way they see that. And so that's been a major focus of ours, all of our teachers and our administration as well.
Yes, speaking of that, you have cultivated that by creating the Fine Arts Academy that was established in 2013 at the high school. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about the Academy, what it offers, and why it's unique?
Yeah, the Academy, it's one of the most special places. The teachers that teach in it, we always say this is one of the best things we've done and one of the hardest things we've done. And I think those two things go hand in hand. What we did in 2013 or in 12, when we were discussing creating something, we said, well, what do we do? And we were doing incredible things. I say we, all of the colleagues that were here, allowing a musician to become a great musician or a visual artist to become a great visual artist. But what we saw was there was an empty gap between visual artists talking to actors and actors talking to musicians. And so what we wanted to create was an interdisciplinary and collaborative community that we could learn about each other's art and help strengthen our own art through the lens of another artist. And so what we've done is created a 4-year program that allows that community to grow, to say, yes, I'm going to continue to be an incredible dancer, but man, I'm going to learn about how I can create choreography through maybe something I saw in a visual artist representation.
Nice.
And that is really, really unique. That is not happening. It took a lot. We went and researched, tried to find things. We never found what we wanted, so we just created it. And so we know that some folks have looked at our program to say, hey, could we create something like that? Again, it takes incredible dedication from a school administration and from teachers to say, we're going to try something and do something maybe we weren't trained to do, but we're really excited about doing with students. And so that student has an opportunity to come in and really explore the concepts of many, many different facets of art and learn from each other in the community.
I think that's so brilliant. And I have so many questions. First is like, my first is, okay, so this is taking a team of teachers in you. What is that team comprised of? Who's on this team for the Fine Arts Academy? Can you share more about that?
For sure. We wanted to make sure we had an expert in every field. And so our dance teacher, one of our visual art teachers, our drama teacher, our choral music educator, we include creative writing as a facet of that because we believe it's part of this creation process. And then myself as an instrumental music person, I mean, you do not want me teaching visual art. That would be bad news. And so
you don't want me doing it either.
You've got to have those experts in the building or in the classroom so that we can exchange. And so we just rotate. We teach all 4 grade levels at the same time. We rotate classrooms. We engage them together. So it's sometimes the students have told us, we're not exactly sure where or what we're doing today, but we're showing up. And so we know what we're doing on the inside, but I'm sure it's very different than I go to that same teacher in English class every single day. So you're definitely exploring lots of different ways from lots of different experts. And I think that's absolutely the key for that to be successful. No one of us could do it as well as our colleagues could.
Oh, wow. And what would you say is the most creative, collaborative effort you've seen between all those disciplines, either in a student performance or project or maybe in a class? What comes to mind?
Yeah. Good question. We've had some incredible senior capstones. One of the works that we do is as they matriculate to be a senior, we allow them to have a really year long immersive collaborative capstone project that they have to create. We always say creation over replication, got to be part of the community.
Right.
And to watch them engage and say, we're going to create something, but the voices of each artist are represented really uniquely. Early on, we had a group create a 45-minute theatrical production that had music included, but they had no composers in the group. So what they did was they relied on some dabbling and some experiences they had along the way in digital music. And so they created a full digital music soundtrack to what is maybe a more traditional theater musical type of type of experience. And so they used the gifts they had, they used some of the things they've learned in their own interest, and they found a way to make it happen without calling in extra folks. They really challenged themselves. And that sticks out as a memory. It was one of those early classes, but I think back and go, that was pretty profound for them to figure that out and make sure that they stayed with that creation over replication and found their own gifts. So that's incredible stuff when you see that come to life.
Do you have a recording of this performance by any chance? Did somebody press play?
Yeah, no, we've archived everything.
Okay.
It's in and about and around. I don't know if it's actually public facing. We do a tight enough job to get it, make sure it's internal, but you're right. We probably should share that a little bit more broadly.
I think so too. I would be so fascinated to see that kind of work. I'm also curious, you mentioned earlier as you were describing this, no one had really, you weren't finding what you were looking for in terms of putting the Fine Arts Academy together. And you were also saying it was like the best thing you've ever done and the most challenging thing you have ever done, you and your team. What made it the best and what was most challenging?
Great. The best is, again, I think seeing students really, truly collaborate with each other over a long period of time, over 4 years, to create relationships and to embrace what we call it failure. Some people do, but embrace the idea of I can fall down to get up and make myself stronger, because it's an essential part of all artistry, but to really do it in a space, in a community where you're embraced and people help you get up, right? You don't have to fall down on your own. And so I think that's absolutely the best thing. Our folks that graduate will write us back and say, hey, that thing we did, man, that's cake here at college, or it's cake in the workforce. Like, you set us up for success that we didn't realize. The hardest part for us is, of course, taking six individual teaching minds, finding time, energy, effort to sit down, to truly also collaborate and ensure that we have a kind of a well-oiled curriculum. And we have chosen to tweak it every year. So it's never the same thing, because we're like, well, that didn't work. But we're in the ownership of that, so we can change it. But that's hard. It takes time and it takes energy and it takes a commitment. But again, so fortunate to have colleagues and friends here that continue to say, yes, we'll continue to work hard to make that right for students. So, yeah.
Is that the challenging, most challenging piece? Is the tweaking and that you're doing each year, would you say?
It is. I think the regular school day maybe isn't set up for this type of learning environment, right? And so you're working within a system structure that maybe doesn't allow for that collaboration within maybe your school day, your planning time. We don't all have like planning times during our, yeah, our work hours. So when, yeah, does it happen? Well, it happens at lunch, and it happens after school, and it happens in lots of emails back and forth and project management, threads. And so I think it's just that next level of commitment. Again, it's always easier to do something by yourself because you're the only one that's either making the commitment or picking the time to do it.
Yeah.
But the moment you have to collaborate with others, well, just add that times six and really, mm-hmm, everybody coming to agreeance and going, we love what we're doing here. Thank you for your input and your input. So it is the most challenging piece of it for sure. But again, we definitely see some fruition in both student product, but mostly student process, which is exciting for us.
That's what's great about challenges, that the rewarding part.
The work is the work, right?
Right.
But again, I think you got to have the right people at the table to be saying, yeah, I'll take the challenge. And we have for the last 8 years. And so it's been awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I saw from the Harrisonburg City Public Schools Fine Arts Facebook page that right now, rising 9th and 10th graders can apply to the Academy through February 11th, which is coming up. So I was hoping you could speak to us a little bit about what is the process to apply to the Academy and how many students do you take for any of those parent laughers or students out there that might be interested in doing this?
Yeah, we hope a lot are as they consider it and don't allow fear to get in your way of applying for something. I always tell eighth graders and ninth graders when I talk to them, listen, nobody walked up to Tom Brady and gave him a football, right? He had to go and work and he had to apply for that position, right? And so we start that education now, right, at age 13 and 14. We've tried to really eliminate some of the pressures of what we might consider an audition. And Dawn, you know that world and what that may or may not look like. And so we just really want to hear about your interest and we want to hear about why you want to grow in this way, in this interdisciplinary way. So you fill out an application, you write a 250-word essay to talk to us a little bit. We do a short interview time. We're doing it via Zoom now. We learned a lot last year, so we can do it, so we can make it easier for students and parents to not have to come to an audition or an interview or what have you. And then we start that process to go, do you think this is a good fit? And will this student be successful here? Will they find some level of success? It's not about being the most talented at all. It's about having the biggest interest and the biggest, asking the right questions so that you want to grow. And we have plenty of students that go, you know what? I'm not interested in growing in that way. I want to grow in this art form. Fantastic. We have a lot of great individual art classes you should take, and we hope that you will. But for the students that really want to experience more than that, this is definitely a cool place. And so we do hope that we begin to see those applications roll in. It's an online application. Don't need to print anything. We've definitely gotten stronger and better in that over time. And then, we'll definitely learn a little bit about each student and their artistry and their desires for their high school learning environment.
I like that. Again, so many questions. It just keeps spurring that curiosity of my mind.
Good.
First, though, so there's a percentage of students you take out of that application process.
That's right. I didn't answer your question, Dawn.
That's
push
okay.
Again. There isn't. We don't have a set number, really.
Okay.
We look at who we have, and I think our acceptance percentage is about 93% or 94%. So we really want to give students the opportunity. This isn't a cutthroat environment. We don't really believe in that cutthroat space at age 13. We really want to try to give them the example. And those folks that maybe either don't accept us or we don't accept them, because we have both sides of that story. That usually is a mutual decision as much as possible to say, you know what, I think this might be a better space for you, or they look at us and go, actually, I'm going to go in a different direction. And we go, just go be successful. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's so many things in this that I love. And that is, as someone who's been out there and auditioned for some big programs and things like that, it can be very cutthroat out there. And what I'm loving that I'm hearing right now is that there's really this cultivation of confidence to grow in performing and commanding your own presence in your art when those days down the road, should they continue to go in that direction, will come. And the more confident you are in yourself and your ability to perform, the better audition you're going to have. Then after that, it's a lot of things, at least for an actor, a lot of things are out of control. You know,
if
I go in there and they cast a husband or a kid that doesn't at all look like me, but that's part of the, part of the storyline means they need to, then I'm not going to get that role because the kid they chose is now making my look not match that. Some storylines want kids with the diversity we have today that don't look at all like their parents, like in real life, my own son. So,
right.
So it just really, there's so many things out of your control, but what you are in control of, and that's what I love about this, is the confidence in yourself and your craft when you walk in. So the only thing you can control is that.
Yeah. And I love that culture of confidence. I hope you didn't copyright that. I'm going to steal it. I love that idea. And I'm glad you're hearing that because I think that's what we do. We like to bring in guest artists. We had one in recently that talked about when you don't get the gig, right? Celebrate the person who did because they're perfect for it.
Yes.
And you too will have your chance to be celebrated. But if you don't celebrate other people and you just get grumbly about how that you should have gotten that role or you should have gotten that gig, then it's not going to work because you can't get every one of them and you don't want every one of them. Not every one of those opportunities is perfect for you. And so the concept of just continue to celebrate, continue to learn, continue to grow, and then it your time will be there to be celebrated. And so I agree with you what you're talking about. And you add that piece of the community of this program. That's huge as well, because there are people there to pick you up when you fall down. So you don't have to do it by yourself and we'll grow together. So yeah, great. That really warms my heart that you're hearing that out of my description of this and gives me even more confidence to teach tomorrow. So I appreciate you.
Oh, I appreciate you. And I, you know, it makes me think of something, and I've learned if it's on my heart, you got to share it. You know what I mean? Mm. And just for any of those young laughers out there that are pursuing the arts, somebody that's thought about never doing it, but wants to try, you know, as JR said, it's never too late. I'm living testimony. It's never too late. So there's a piece of advice that coincides with what we were just talking about that I want to share. Erica Arvold is the biggest casting director in the state of Virginia. Very accomplished person. I've taken several of her workshops, auditioned for her a lot of times. And I will never forget her sharing in a workshop that exactly what you're saying, you can't control, or what we're saying, you can't control getting the gig. That part's out of your control. But take solace in the fact that you get invited back again and again to audition, because that means right. that they see something in you and they're just looking for the place where you fit. So just the audition, it's getting the audition itself is a success.
Yeah. 100%. That's great advice. And it's great to hear it from a successful person doing it in the field. You and I aren't just making up this stuff, right? This is true work going on in the field that is happening. And it's true, I think, across so many fields, but definitely alive here in the arts. So that's great.
Yeah, it is so great. I knew this was going to be a great conversation. I just knew it. And here it is. Here, you know what? I got to say, with somebody who's had 21 years in music and arts and education, you have had to see a lot of changes. And what I'm curious about the most is what you've seen with the students and multimedia art and how that has all evolved over time, especially with the audio and video technology we have today. Oh, my goodness. I can't imagine. So can you share with us some major changes that you have seen over time that surprised you the most?
Yeah. Oh, surprised me. Interesting. It's interesting. It's hard to guess what's coming forward, but I'll think back 20 years ago. And when I came out of school, I was really excited about the concept of building a recording studio in a school for students to learn that craft. I was interested in it as a kid and dabbled in, and I thought, gosh, there's a career pathway here to be able to do this. But what you had to do to create a studio 20 years ago was pretty costly, right? It was also yep. very, very specified to have to learn. Well, all that technology is in a student's pocket, right? It's right there on the phone to be able to do so many different things, much less a computer or what have you. And so for me, I think the biggest changes that I've seen is just the incredible accessibility that students have towards these things. And then their willingness, because it's a comfortable thing, right? If I was teaching it 20 years ago, we'd have to go through the whole process. What's a fader? What's this? What's this? What's gain? What's this? That's all built in. And so it is super present for that. And then we see them using it within the context of making their art. So I think you've got the surprise rapid use of it from students, and students know it better than teachers, right? Like they teach us, which is great. That's what we want. I think then on the other side of that, teacher design curriculum that is not just, it's not just about playing in the band or in the choir or in on the drama stage, but instead building some curriculum and writing curriculum and creating space to learn music technology. One of the classes we offer at Harrisonburg High School, it's very popular. We call it Mac Music. We use the Mac platform because it's very accessible. And we really teach GarageBand, and we teach the idea of this. And then how do you put that to real life? Well, make music for a podcast. Are you kidding me? Right. So you can do that right here and hold, you know, figure out what that means and be able to do that. And the accessibility both in the student pocket, but also now in the education forum is available. We can get some really high quality mics to plug into that computer and get the work done. I'm using one right now here in the building to, I borrowed one from our studio space and said, gosh, I'll try to make my voice sound better. So I think those are the big things for me to say that, yeah, it is a surprise how quickly it's really moved forward. And now we actually have students who maybe don't speak the language of the arts. I put my air quotes around that, but they speak creativity through the platform. And so then eventually they'll figure out that, oh, wait, there's a connection there. And we've done our job by planting those seeds and giving, again, creating the space for teachers and students to find their own creativity. Yeah.
Yeah, and so much is accessible to us now with social media. So my curious mind's thinking about, does the Harrisonburg City Schools, Public Schools Fine Arts Program have a TikTok?
Yeah, we don't. We haven't gone there yet.
Okay.
And it's probably more of my own inability to use it. I don't use it in my personal life. So
neither,
it would be a step for me to use it. But we have talked about it from a student standpoint and how can we create safe channels, right? It has to be safe channels that a student could manage that and really teach about what that is. We definitely have implored the Insta and the Facebook and the Twitter, well, they were moving away from that one. And so, you know, you're trying to move and navigate what works and who are our audiences. We know the kids are talking to each other on TikTok, you know, while us old people may still use the Facebook. Gosh darn it. We are still so old using something different, but that's been an effective tool for us to communicate. Yes. Obviously you found a lot of our information. And so we're glad that the community as abroad can get to a Facebook or an Instagram and at least find out what we're doing and learn a little bit about what's happening in our classrooms.
Yeah. I was really curious about that. You know, that seems to be a rising medium for the young folks with the TikTok. That's why I was curious. Well, I want to get into this Court Square Cafe. And I understand that the January showcase, the HHS Stage Streaks were preparing for their appearance at the Virginia Thespian Festival in Winchester, Virginia, the weekend after they performed at Court Square Theater. Is that sort of thing part of the consideration on what creative works are chosen for the monthly showcase, or what other considerations go into selecting what will be featured in the monthly showcase?
Yeah, great question. You know, this is a brand new partnership between Court Square Theater and Harrisonburg City Public Schools. And so we are navigating it as we kind of move along, build it while we fly the plane. Right. And so I really listen to my teachers and the students to say, what would be really valuable in a 250 seat downtown theater that is different than being in our 1100 seat auditorium? And something like what you saw, that one act with less characters and a smaller space, it's just perfect for Court Square Theater, you know? And so I've really leaned on teachers to say, I just want everybody to know this is available. We want to try to do a lot of different things that maybe we're not doing, or take something that wasn't working in your school space, and let's bring it to the community. Kids and teachers both alike, students and teachers, really love going to a new space and creating art. It totally lifts the game. And so I think there's a win on both sides of that, especially for a group like the One Act here at the high school, to do it offsite and know that they're going to Saturday another offsite location, right, in Winchester, not at their home. You begin to realize you can be comfortable producing your art in lots of different spaces. And so so criteria wise, I really listen to my teachers. And then my job is to try to cultivate and place things in place that seem to either work together or seem like it'll produce a nice, some nice content for the public and for the audience in the room.
Yeah, that is one of the things I loved about it. Just what you said is it's providing the students a public theater space outside their school to perform and showcase their work. And you mentioned it's a collaboration between you and your program and the Court Square Theater. Was this a teacher-led or a student-led idea or both to collaborate with Court Square Theater?
It was actually administrative led. I need to give credit where credit is due. Dr. Richards, here, our superintendent, I think really saw an opportunity as the theater opened up out of the pandemic and wondered if there was a way that we could really begin to not only support a local arts entity, but more importantly, as his vision, to say, well, is there a space out there? And so he really brought that to the forefront and challenged me to try to create spaces that we could do this. And so that was kind of the birth worth of this. As for the work, we do get the teachers involved, but we actually are really seeking individual students who may want to perform, but don't necessarily have a venue to do that. And we saw a little bit of that in the fall. We had a small comedy act. We had an improv guy come out and do it. It was awesome. Where that might be really intimidating in a big theater, or there's not a venue. And so we're still cultivating more opportunities for individual students as they find that confidence and that bravery to go, hey, I'll go downtown and sing a song or do a dance or do something. And some of our programs coming up, I think we'll highlight that a little bit differently than, say, the one act program at the high school.
Or maybe stand up comedy one day. Who knows?
That's right. Evan, we're all for it. Let's go. It was great. It was awesome. And that's exactly what you got to do. So it was good to see a student go for it. Yeah.
That's really awesome. So great. Mm-hmm. Well, can you give us a glimpse? I know we're talking in a broad sense, but can you give us a glimpse of what we might see in the upcoming showcases with perhaps an interesting tidbit or two only someone like you behind the scenes would know?
Yeah, sure. We try to put a polished space up there, but you never know what's going to happen. But we do have some things lined up. We're excited to bring our high school Music Honor Society recital to the Court Square Theater. And so you'll see a variety of singing and instrumental playing, students really creating their own music, not teacher led, like we were just talking about. And so we're excited to have that come out in April. And so that'll be on our April 4th. We're in the crux of developing a songwriting festival for all students, K through 12, in all mediums. We've got some really great ukulele players out of the elementary school that are beginning to explore and write their own music on this incredible instrument that's taken fire over all of music education. Well, then we also have our students in our tech class at the high school creating new beats and rhythms and songs on the electronic medium. And so we wanted a space that all of that could come together. We love the intergenerational pieces of that. We'll also maybe be pulling in a local songwriter or two to as an adult to show, hey, this is where you can go afterwards. So that's a little insight, because that's going to come out and we've never done anything like that before. But I've got definitely teachers excited. And I think once students start to understand what it is, I look forward to really featuring a bunch of students in May at our May Cafe. And we'll have kind of a songwriting festival for our young folks in the community. So that's very exciting coming up.
Oh, I want to go see that. I'm going to mark my calendar. So how much
there
does
you go.
This,
now we're talking.
That's exactly right. We're talking now. Now let's talk money. How much does this going to cost us? Cost the Laughers to see this
that's
wonderful
right.
work.
Laughers, it's, I got good news for you. It's not laughable, but it is free. And one of the reasons we do that is we have such a strong equity lens. We don't want to let, we don't want to have anything bar the opportunity for a parent, a grandparent, a student, a friend to see another student perform. And so part of that partnership that we developed was to ensure that we could support the theater for what they needed, while also ensuring that we had an equitable space for anyone to see it. You know, when you come see your friends at your school, we don't have charges for many, many, many of our performances, just a couple here and there, but the majority are free. And so we didn't want to create a barrier that maybe doesn't set this off to be successful. And so we hope that you'll come. And you can buy some popcorn as well while you're there. Save that money for that. And that's helped support the theater and our partners in that as well.
And for those parents over 21, side note, they have beer and wine available.
I'm in my education mode, Dawn. I think I'm glad you brought it up, not me. So there you go.
Just, you know, in case you wondered.
You are correct about that. You are correct about that.
So when is this next one that going to come up? Is it, you know, is February, I think you were saying before we recorded, there's an update on that. So can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, we had set them for the first Monday of every month, you know, and just said, let's get them on the calendar. And on our February most recently, it's a challenging time, as you know. And so we've got students in and out. We've got teachers in and out. We've got a lot going on in the schools, whether it's COVID and Omicron or just trying to get through some things. And so right now we have an absent space in February. We may or may not fill it, but we'll be able to tell you that via social media to let you know if it's on or not. But we definitely are on in March. March is celebration of arts in our school month. And so we're going to have a lot of different things happening in early March. And then, like I mentioned, April and May are feel pretty strongly lined up. And so, like I said, we'll get off the call and I'll keep trying to recruit and see if we can create a show. And if we don't, it's okay. We can cancel and we'll continue to find another space later on in the spring to come and celebrate. But you can, again, follow us on that Facebook page for Harrisonburg City Public Schools Fine Arts, and we'll be able to make sure and let you know so you don't get out there and find not a show on the agenda.
Yeah, that'd be great. So that's a good note there, Laffers. You can keep up with the updates on Harrisonburg City Public Schools Fine Arts on all things fine arts. And also, too, Court Square Cafe has its own Facebook page, too, as well, right?
Yeah, we create an event space there that you can like and follow that. And so we're just trying to grow a little bit in different ways. So yeah, lots of places, and we'll try to over communicate so that you know what you're expecting. And you can always reach out to us to ask that question as well.
Great. And there's a website for the Harrisonburg City Schools Fine Arts Program.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. You go to Harrisonburg City Public Schools at harrisonburg.k12.va.us. You can find, of course, everything. Look under instruction and you'll find fine arts or visual and performing arts. And then we have information there as well.
Excellent. And then if people want to follow you specifically, what would be the best way they can reach out to you?
Yeah, great question. Again, I'm on all the social medias, but not on the TikTok.
Me neither. It's okay, JR. Anyway.
I usually use those for my personal world, but email is always great. jsnow@harrisonburg.k12.va.us, or the work in our nonprofit work with Any Given Child Shenandoah Valley is just jr@agcshenvalley.org. Again, lots of different ways to reach out. And if you hit me in any of them, I'll make sure and get it in the right kind of column of my work, and we'll have a good conversation.
Yes, and you will be speaking to him, not his clone. He is for real, and there's only one of them.
Thank goodness. My goodness.
I know. I don't know if the world could handle more than one JR. And I mean that with all love.
I know you do, friend. I know you do.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, JR. I knew this was going to be super fun and enjoyable to chat with you on Youth Fine Arts today, and it has exceeded all expectations. Thanks again for coming on today to share about the Court Square Cafe featuring our local budding youth talent.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the opportunity. Love that you're doing this. Good to see you in this space, seeing you in lots of different spaces, but it is a joy to see you even here on the Zoom and a talk as we are doing right now. But to look forward to seeing you in real life soon too. Thanks so much, Dawn.
You are welcome, JR. And Laffers, you can get more information on the dates and showtimes coming up for the Court Square Cafe also at valleyarts.org/performances. That's valleyarts.org/performances. Again, it's free to come and hang out at the cafe. So come and enjoy the work of our talented student performers, crew, and directors at Court Square Theater in downtown Harrisonburg. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, Laffers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laffers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.